Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. Tim the Appraiser is on. Hey, Tim.
Good morning, you guys. Morning. Hey, thanks for having me on.
Oh, no, we love it. You've been appraising homes for various banks for how many years?
Close to 30 years.
Wow. You've been in a lot of houses.
A lot of them,
yes. At least four, yes.
Yeah. So you're going to tell us a few of your standout memories.
Yeah. The one that comes to mind is the Squatters. Beautiful home on a lake in Oakdale. Selling for a pretty big price. And I get there early, and I see the cars in the driveway. I'm thinking, this place is supposed to be vacant. So I waited for the agent. The agent shows up and says, we got a problem. And I says, we all have problems. What's your problem? He goes, there's people in the house. I go, well, come on, let's go down and talk to them. He goes, they won't let us in. Huh. So about a half hour of being lectured at the front door by these people.
Can you imagine?
Right.
That's ridiculous.
You're seeing someone else's house.
I'm going to basically break into a house, start living here, and then tell people they can't come in.
Right.
Wow.
Right. So, and they said, the agent goes, well, the place is being sold. The appraiser has to do his job. Well, we're not going to let him in, because if we let him in, then the process speeds up. I guess they pretty much knew what they were doing. And they said, we can't let him in now, and blah, 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 blah. So the gentleman comes out, and he goes, watch this. Picks up his cell phone. I don't know who he called, the other agent, or maybe even the homeowner. But he goes, you want us out of here? It'll cost you $10,000 plus our moving expenses.
What?
And he hung the phone up. So I got in 4 days later. I found out they are getting paid to get out, and they had to be out just before Thanksgiving. I couldn't believe it.
Wow.
That worked.
It worked.
Huh. Try that on me. My call will be to the Hell's Angels. you won't have a good time. You're not getting 10 grand. And moving expenses? Oh, we'll help you move.
Chaz, it was a $630,000 sale.
Wow.
The homeowner just paid it.
Damn.
She just paid it.
So it's extortion, basically.
Yeah.
It is.
Right. Holy crap.
That's kind of way to make money.
And the place was immaculate. They had five chihuahuas running around, and the place was still pretty clean. So
they kept it clean, at least. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's
good. They were good break-inners, yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Wow.
Right.
I'm blown away by that.
That's amazing.
Break-inners and stay-inners.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah.
Then
he gets a deal.
Right.
Doing an inspection, and I opened the guy's shed, because you know, they want pictures of everything, these banks. So
yeah.
I opened the door, and I see all these pot marijuana plants. I looked at him, and I said, I turned around, I looked at him, and I said, oh, I didn't see those. He just started laughing.
Right. I didn't see that. I didn't. Right. There's 10 plants. I didn't see his 9 plants there.
Yeah. But, sometimes I do abandoned homes, and they're multifamily. So there was one in Hartford in the north end, and I was doing it. And every time I took a step, I would yell because I didn't want to startle anybody that may have been in there or jump at me.
Right.
It was pretty nerve-wracking.
That's scary.
Yeah, one
Ashley
step.
Ashley thinks it's funny.
Two step.
Well, I wasn't picturing that. I was just picturing him.
Three step, I yell.
Right.
And then I get outside.
This is good. Can you recreate this, Tim?
Like, how did that go?
Let's hear how you did it.
Step one, I yell. Step two, I yell.
I want to hear the yell.
Like, how'd you yell?
I would just say, hey!
Hey!
It's like a weird dance step.
Hey!
When I came back outside, I was getting yelled at by the homeowner next door.
Oh.
She goes, you in charge of that property? I said, no, I'm not. The real estate agent is. She goes, well, we got a rat problem. And I said to her, like, who doesn't have a rat problem in Hartford? I said to her.
Seriously. Seriously, right.
It's like, yeah, okay.
The word rats in Hartford.
Let's call in the army.
Exactly, right, yeah.
Yeah, that's one of those. You get rid of them in that house, and they'll just move over to the
next
house.
Exactly, right,
now.
Right. They will.
It's interesting. Every day is a different adventure. You don't know, you know, of course, some of the homes you can see from the outside, they're going to be nice quality, but sometimes you just never know how people live inside.
Right. Yeah.
You know, we have had running with, people who have all the boxes and they just don't throw anything away. And
the hoarders.
Like, oh, my God.
I had my internet guy over this week.
Yeah.
That's what gave me the idea for all this.
Right.
He had a story And I don't know if I have enough time to tell it. We're starting to get calls, too, so I'll save it for another time. And,
okay.
Tim, we'd like you have a whole list of stories here, so we'd like to have you back to talk about some of this
yeah.
stuff. Okay.
They'll call me anytime.
All right. Thank you, brother. Appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Oh, okay. Like, what song is that? All right. I walked in burning with a fire.
99.1 PLR, 95.9 The Fox, Chaz and AJ in the morning. Nick, the science guy, is on. There was the Ring of Fire eclipse.
Smooth. I wanted to see it.
Yeah. Well, it was pretty neat. So you had to live in a certain part of the world. This was only visible from, like, northern Canada, sort of. So it wasn't easy to see, you know, I mean, for most of the world. But it's really cool looking. It's when the moon passes in front of the Earth. So it's between the moon is between the Earth and the sun.
Right.
And it gives this effect that there's, like, this ring.
Ring of fire.
Yeah, so it's pretty cool looking. That happened today, so there's some really great pictures online that you can check out.
So we couldn't see it here in Connecticut at all if we tried?
No, you see, eclipses are only visible from very narrow bands of land. It the shadow is small. It only occurs in certain parts of the Earth. But an eclipse occurs everywhere on the Earth, somewhere on the Earth, every 18 months.
Right.
So we will get one in 2024.
Okay,
that will be visible from North America.
Is this something that you get up and nerd out on and, like, watch cameras and
for days leading up to it?
Or you don't really care?
Planning what do you wear?
I always like to check out the pictures. I'm most excited when we get, like, brand new pictures of something we've never seen before. I mean, we've had rings of fire in the past, so, you know, it's cool, but it's not, like, a brand new phenomenon.
Right.
But when we have, like, a spacecraft that for the very first time lands on a planet or a moon and gives us some never-before-seen pictures,
like
that
Mars,
really
yeah,
excites
right,
me.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
Like,
I got you.
Okay.
Okay.
That makes sense.
But you can go online and Google that Ring of Fire eclipse, and there's a zillion pictures. It does look pretty cool.
Yeah, it's wild.
Cool. Like, old school for Nick.
Like a set of taillights.
Yeah.
At night.
Yeah.
Nick, the science guy, I'm from Connecticut Science Center. Did you see that new NASA spacesuit they're going to use for the lunar landing?
Yeah, I'm very excited for that. It looks super cool. There was actually a demonstration of the spacesuit by the last NASA administrator, and we got to see it in action, someone on stage in the suit doing all kinds of motions, showing off what you could do in the spacesuit. It's pretty incredible. They've come a long way since, Buzz Aldrin and Neil Armstrong.
Did they moonwalk? That'd be cool if they moonwalked.
That's
in a spacesuit.
Dude,
if they want a viral
video, they don't
really
moonwalk so much.
Exactly, right.
Yeah.
Do the running man.
If you want a viral video.
Yeah.
Yeah, this space you can actually walk. I mean, they had to hop around because, that was the constraint of the design. It wasn't really super flexible.
Right.
But we've come a long way. Now the suits are really flexible.
You CrossFit, yeah.
Bend down and pick something up.
Exactly.
Yeah, so part of the training now with these new suits is to bend down and pick up a dime off the floor.
Nice.
And to have that kind of... Now, they couldn't do that before. Now,
no.
If you remember any of the pictures of the original moon landings, when they picked up a rock, they had that, like, that little gripper stick. That
thing, like they use in the park.
No, the thing in the park is a spear.
Right. No.
The rock.
They have those other ones.
It's like the little gripper that you use to get a can off the top of the ship.
They have those, too, in some parks, like the fancier parks.
Oh,
yeah.
I haven't been to those fancier parks.
Well, if you fall asleep in a park, you sometimes see things.
Okay.
The best is when they really tried to grab it, and they just failed and just, like, slipped around and fell on their back while trying to pick up
like
something.
Like a turtle, yeah.
Yeah.
Can't get up.
You know, we call these things spacesuits, but they're actually spacecrafts built around a person.
Oh, yeah. It's got, like, a ventilating system.
They have thrust.
In there?
Yeah, if you think about all the things that it has to do, it has to protect from temperatures that go from 250 degrees Fahrenheit to -250. It's got to vent out your carbon dioxide. It's got to give you oxygen. It's got to pressurize you. It's incredible that they've got the spacesuit as compact as it is that can do all those things.
It's really a spaceship
human-shaped spaceship.
Yeah, human-shaped spaceship. And it is so heavy, and it takes so many hours. Like when you watch, you know, a movie or whatever, you think you could put this on in like a minute. It takes 4 hours to put one of those on.
Oh,
and you,
my.
And you cannot put it on yourself.
Oh, really?
You know, it's, they're building it around you.
The buddy system. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Help me out, buddy.
And with the gloves, that's always been a complaint of all the astronauts because they're like, well, my hands get cold. It's the gloves are really, really tight. I can't really move my fingers. I lose blood flow in the hand. They've been complaining about this since the beginning of time. They've tried every different material for these gloves, even Kevlar. And apparently Kevlar is very good for stopping bullets, but not knives.
Oh.
So it rips easy. Not a good thing. You don't want that to happen when you're in a spacesuit.
Pressurized suit, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
Not a problem. But I saw them. They look really cool. Not cheap, but really cool.
Yeah.
What about the bathroom? Like, how do you go to the bathroom, that thing?
You just go.
Oh, you
seriously?
Know,
yeah.
They've
really
got a low-tech solution for that.
What about number two?
Yeah,
you just go.
So
seriously, you
got
to try to plan. You're trying to plan around it. But when you go out on these space missions, you're out there for a while.
That's it.
It takes 4 hours to put the suit on. It takes hours to take it off.
Right.
You're out there for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're just going to have to do it.
So no taco night.
Yeah.
Yeah. Try to go to the bathroom before you do your spacewalk.
And, right. Right. Before we go, everybody go to the bathroom, yes.
What's interesting about these new spacesuits, too, that they've kind of figured out through all of the work that they've done, is that they have to make designs that are different, so they're more individual to each person, so you could just look at the spacesuit and see who's in it.
Okay.
When you're out and doing these space missions, because they used to just have the name tag.
Right. You have to get up close. And
it's like you're hanging onto a space station, like, yeah, Bob, what's your name again? Who's, who, is that Ashley? Oh, no, it's Phil. Oh, sorry.
Right. Like, mine would have flip-flops on it.
Right. You'd have pictures of flip-flops.
They'd have, like, pictures, yeah.
Yeah. We can use 3D skin.
Right. Phil's have, like, a beard attached to it.
Yeah.
Right. To the glass.
Personalize your spacesuit a little bit. Put a little clown wig on or something.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time getting excited for this moon thing because we've been there. I know that they want to get more tests and do more stuff.
Yeah.
And the moon is eventually going to be, all right, we land here. This is where we're gonna build stuff here, and we're going to go to Mars from here.
Yeah.
That's going to be the launch pad for Mars.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
closer.
A little different from last time because what's going to happen is there's going to be a permanent station. So you know how we have the International Space Station that orbits the Earth? There's going to be something similar to that orbiting the moon called the Gateway. And so we're going to have this moon station that's just going to orbit the Earth, or orbit the moon, excuse me. So that's going to be kind of the way that we're going to land on the moon is you're going to go to the Gateway and then descend to the moon. And so we're going to have this way to just permanently settle the moon. And by doing that, we're going to actually be able to learn how to settle other worlds as well.
That's wild.
We're going to jumpstart the lunar vehicle we have up there.
The lunar vehicle.
We left it there, right?
That's classic. We should bring that back.
Exactly. Or at least jumpstart and go for a joyride.
You know what? That would be really cool if they went over there and they brought another vehicle or like a little cable, you know, one of those battery chargers.
Exactly. Or what a great endorsement for the battery company to put it on there if it's a diehard. And they turn the key and boom, goes right on.
That would be cool.
That'd be smooth.
Well, I mean, electric vehicles are going to be great on the moon. You got plenty of power. And I can't wait to see all the joyriding going on the surface of the moon.
You're being facetious, aren't you?
No, but that's great. Like, there's no plan for that, right? Wouldn't that be something to grab some of the old stuff left behind?
Why not?
Well, we are going to go to the lunar south pole. That's the current plan because that's where a lot of the water ice is, and that's not where. That's not where Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin landed.
That's where we parked. Okay, that always happens.
But all those tire tracks and those footprints, all that stuff, still there.
The flag.
Yeah, yeah. There's no wind to blow the footprints away.
Oh,
no.
That's what you should do. You get in the rover and you write your name, and it's just there. It's just there forever.
No, do donuts.
Yeah, Chaz and AJ were here.
Yeah, I would do donuts, man.
Nick, the science guy, is on, and then. What about this dinosaur that they found in Australia? This is this a whole new type of dinosaur?
Yes, this is a brand new species of dinosaur. The bones for this dinosaur were first discovered 15 years ago, and it took 15 years to dig up the remaining bones and to analyze them to determine that it was, in fact, a new species. It is a in the sauropod type of dinosaur, so
Hold on, one second. Why did you say, oh, God?
15 years to dig up the rest of the skeleton?
Yeah, really, just get a bulldozer.
Are they using, like, a toothbrush? Like, what are they using?
Yeah, they don't want to rip it up with
I think most
excavator.
Of the time was probably analyzing the bones. That is a very time-consuming process, because what they have to do is they have to compare all the bones they dig up to all the other kinds of dinosaur bones that are out there to confirm that it's a new species. So, yeah, it's a very long process.
But this,
they finally did it.
This dinosaur, they say, is like two stories high and as long as a basketball court. Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's enormous.
It's a Laker.
it makes T-Rex look kind of like a bunny rabbit.
Yeah, that's not. Do they know if it ate, you know, did it eat other dinosaurs or did it eat plants?
Yeah. No, this is a an herbivore. This is a plant-eating dinosaur. So, yeah, that type of dinosaur with the super long neck, you know, like Brachiosaurus, Apatosaurus, it's a sauropod. So, yeah, they ate plants, you know, leaves from trees that were really tall. But it's amazing if you think about, like, how much it has to eat to support all that body weight.
Right.
Its whole day is just eating leaves.
And the closest thing we have to that now is, like, what, an alligator, a turtle? Like, from that time period.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's really fascinating, the evolutionary progression from dinosaurs. The closest connection, actually, to dinosaurs are birds, in fact. The birds are sort of, you know, descendants of dinosaurs. But you mentioned crocodiles or alligators. Those early crocodiles and alligators were around at the same time as the dinosaurs. So they were kind of like a peer, I guess, from that time period.
So do you guys have some kind of a scale somewhere? Like, okay, it was a pterodactyl, then it was this, and then now it's a, you know, it's a seagull.
Right.
That would be sad.
Yeah.
You know how they have the chart where there's the caveman?
Yeah.
And then over, you know,
modern
that's,
man,
and then we're somewhere like right near that. And then over on the right is like a regular human standing upright.
Yeah.
Is there a scale or
an evolution scale?
Yeah. The seagull is pooping your cars.
You can do genetic analysis to see when certain genes changed. And it's actually used as a kind of like a clock to see what sorts of adaptations occurred when. It's tougher with really, really old species because the DNA just does not survive. But evolution kind of works like a branching tree, and sometimes the branches fall off. And so what the branches that remain are the species that are alive today. I don't know, like there's no, like, it's not like, you know, the great, 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 great granddaughter of a pterodactyl was a seagull. It's more that, you know, they shared a common ancestor very, very long time ago.
Because I'd like to think that Canada Goose was the T-Rex.
Yeah, it's still terrifying.
Just super aggressive.
Yes. I can only imagine when a pterodactyl pooped on you.
Nick, anything going on over at the Science Center?
Well, starting in July, we are open 7 days a week, and more details to come, but the state has provided a free admission to every resident in the state of Connecticut through the summer. So check out the website for more details about that, but this summer is a great time to go. You can get it for free.
Wait, has that been announced?
It's been in the works. I don't know if there's been like an official announcement yet,
but
you can hear from me. Come this summer. There'll be more details to come. Just check out our website at ctsciencecenter.org.
Do you have to do anything weird?
Nothing weird.
Like dress up.
We're just going to take this sample.
Exactly right. This won't hurt a bit. Bend over.
You don't have to have a chip planted in your brain or anything like that.
Oh, good. I can find one.
All right. Thanks, Nick. We're linked up to all things Connecticut Science Center on the radio station website. Appreciate it. Three shows right off the bat announced this week.
Nice.
For the Hartford Healthcare Amphitheater. Let's bring on Jimmy Koplik. Answer all your questions, take your calls, and we'll talk concerts. How you doing, brother?
Well, much better now that I don't have to start remembering all these concerts from 1974, I'll tell you that.
Life is good.
It is.
The best
was about
when
3 days I remember from the 70s, and that's about it.
Oh, the best was when we would ask you about concerts that we didn't completely remember.
Right, exactly.
Like, you remember the 1973 that concert, you know, the one where there's music?
Where they played? There was, like, guys on stage, and it was, like, rock?
I asked you if you like that.
Right.
So this week, Harry Connick Jr., right?
Yes. I was actually up in Bridgeport yesterday. They were trying to place where they would put the stage.
Oh,
just
really?
To make sure there'd be as many clear view seats as possible. So that was pretty interesting.
Oh, well, the stage is already in, no?
Stage is in, but, you know, when you have a roof over a venue, there are always poles holding up a roof. So we're trying to have as few limited view seats as possible.
Kind of blocking it out, gotcha.
You know, it's like that with sound system blocks the area, you know, the view of the stage, things like that. So we carefully try to make sure before we put it on sale that we mark what's limited view and what's clear view.
So how does
that
work? If
it says nothing about limited view, then it's a clear view seat.
Right.
So how does that work? Are you walking around with assistants and sitting in the seats, and do you have people on stage, like stand in the middle, stand over on the side? It's a whole deal.
Exactly, exactly.
Wow. And were you happy with the results?
I was very happy with the results. Nice. And it's, you know, it's something that I particularly pay attention to that I'm not sure that many promoters do. But I figure the less complaints the night of the show, the better off we all are.
Yeah. And when you do get in one of those seats, it's an all-night thing.
Yeah.
No, not with me. Mm-hmm. Call an usher, we'll give you a different seat.
Nice.
That's
I always hold back tickets for that sort of thing. I don't want anybody being bothered. As I always say, I'm a concert goer. If I'm sitting near a pole, behind a pole, or partially view near a pole, or the sound system blocks me, and the seat doesn't say limited view, I want to change my seat. Sorry. If I bought a ticket that said limited view, then okay, I paid less and I got a limited view seat, and that's the way it is. But if this ticket doesn't say that, call an usher, we'll give you a different seat.
That's nice.
Can I tell them what I think to the band?
No. I think the band would consider that too much of a view.
Okay, gotcha.
What about if Abe Lincoln sits in front of you?
Oh, yeah, his big hat and everything. Tall guy.
Well, you know, I don't think I'm going to let Abe in.
Okay.
I don't think no hats.
All right, no giant hats.
Right.
No.
Okay. Plus, last time I was in a theater, look what happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That happens in Broadway every once in a while. Because the seats are so close and the rows are so close.
Oh, yeah.
Somebody's tall in front of you.
Yeah.
You're done.
Yeah, you're done. That's it.
Yeah, I saw part of Spider-Man.
So Harry Connick Jr. and his band playing Hartford HealthCare Amphitheater in Bridgeport Sunday, August 15th. And the tickets are really reasonable, like $29.50 to $99.50. And then there's some VIP. And they go on sale Friday, June 18th. So that was one show that came out this week. Another one was Little Big Town. You've mentioned this several times.
Yeah, by mistake.
Yes.
Right. But now it's official.
But this week, now it's official.
Right.
Little Big Town with special guest Haley Witters. Thursday, August 26th, Hartford HealthCare Amphitheater. And again, tickets are $29.50 to $99.50. These are great prices.
Very affordable.
Is that going to be kind of the range, or it'll be based on the band?
No, that'll be the range. As I said, we're gonna have Fairfield Ticket County prices in the first few rows, and then we're dropping them down big time, all the way down to $29.50 in most cases.
And then Britt Floyd, which you've mentioned on the show, Thursday, September 9th, 7:30, Hartford HealthCare Amphitheater. Tickets range from $35 to $75. Did you, Jimmy, ever in your wildest imagination when you were booking Pink Floyd at the Palace Theater in Waterbury, think that a Pink Floyd cover band would get $75 a ticket?
No, I would never think that. Cover bands to me were always cover bands, but if you've ever seen this band,
it's a whole
Pink
different
Floyd,
yeah.
It's way more than a cover band.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do have amazing production behind them. And this is not the Oakdale show. So people that are holding tickets to the Oakdale show, it will return next March to Oakdale. So this is a brand new show.
Oh, that's important.
Yes.
Good to know.
That's important. Don't show up today. Okay.
Ain't going to happen.
Don't show up with your Oakdale ticket.
Did you have Pink Floyd The Wall in Connecticut? Was that Coliseum?
No, it only played two cities, L.A. and New York.
Oh, wow.
Well, it was actually Long Island. It was Nassau Coliseum.
Oh. That was back in the 80s, right?
Yes, that's early 80s, yep. Early it was 81.
80s. Yeah. And how many tractor trailers was that?
Well, back then, it was a lot. It was 16, but that's not the most anymore.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I mean, Pink Floyd came back in, I don't know, I guess it was 93, I think it was, and they had 26 trucks. Motley Crue has over 20 trucks. So it's changed. Production's gotten bigger and bigger.
It's amazing to me because when you started this whole thing, it was let's put a band in a high school gymnasium.
Yeah.
Let's make a stage and we'll put them through the whatever the PA system is that the hockey announcer talks through.
Right.
And then it's this whole deal where there's 17 trucks
right.
coming in and clipboards and soundboards out in the floor and we're
right.
going to raise speakers and light systems and it's nuts.
The first band had a station wagon.
Probably,
everything
right?
fit in the back and the band rode in the front.
Your first concert, Steppenwolf, what did they show up with? Like a U-Haul truck?
It was a U-Haul truck, exactly, and we plugged into the auditorium. It was in Columbus, Ohio, and we... It was a 3,000-seat auditorium, sort of like the Palace Theater in Waterbury, and we plugged right into their sound system. They didn't bring any sound or any lights. Whatever lights they had above the stage, they just turned on.
That's amazing.
And it was that simple. It was, and all I had to do was get them sandwiches for food.
Right. And for a light show, they just kept them from the switchback.
$15,000 a night for food.
Strobe light.
Hey. Yeah, Jimmy stood near the wall and just flipped the switch right. on and off.
Okay, dark, no light, dark, no light. Show. Right. They put a red bulb in there. Ooh.
Foo Fighters.
Listen, I spend $15,000 a night on food for backstage now. I used to spend $25 on backstage food.
$15,000? Damn.
I know. Well, you know, when people talk about ticket prices being so high, and they are high, so I don't dispute that. But when you're feeding... You know, hundreds of people backstage between the crews and people like that, and spending $15,000 just on catering backstage. There were a number of incredible costs that are now involved in putting concerts together.
Crab and caviar?
Well, we have lobster. Certain artists ask for lobster.
Wow.
There has to be a negotiation that takes place. Like, hey, can you tell your person that no one cares that much about them anymore?
Right. You're getting
maybe
burgers.
1985, they could ask for lobster.
You're getting burgers.
Tuna fish.
Right.
yes, we call that our pasta backstage.
Okay.
Because if the show's not selling well and they still think they're big, we have what we call A meals, B meals, and C meals.
Hmm.
They might ask for an A meal, but they're going to get a C meal.
Right.
Hey,
look, rigatoni.
It's like, hey, there's food. You got
right,
food. So.
Right, exactly. No sauce, just rigatoni.
All right, Jim in Fairfield.
Hey, how you doing today?
Hey, how
good.
You doing?
Are you in the middle of something?
Yeah, I love the show.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was in Dunkin' Donuts getting coffee.
Right, good place for it.
I don't know how long, but I just walked out. So, a long-time concert goer, long-time listener.
Thank you.
I used to go to shows back in the 70s at Cole Park. I grew up in Glastonbury. Jimmy, I've been to like a million shows in New Haven Coliseum, Yes in the Round, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Styx, just a ton of them. It's all we did in high school back in the late 70s.
There's a question in here.
But,
I can feel it.
I love the Klein. You know, I go there. We have some local venues around the warehouse.
I'm
going
to come back to you when you're at the part of the question, and I'm going to take some questions while we're waiting.
There we go. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry. So I booked tickets to Foreigner, Foreigner 4, great album. At the new place, and I wanted to get Kings Leon. It was a Wednesday. The tickets were going on sale Friday. I found tickets, but they were like wicked expensive.
The Kings Leon, so not Queens.
Who are you buying them from?
I don't know. Like it was online. I'm a Live Nation member. I logged in, but then I saw tickets available on another website, and they were like $300. And then I went to your website, and they were like started at like 120 or something. And I just want to know, how do those places get them and pre-sell them? They say they may not be delivered until the day before the show. How does that happen?
Well, look, I don't know how that happens, and I urge people not to buy those tickets because they're not authorized to sell our tickets. We sell our tickets much less for much less money, as you just said. And the reason they're waiting sometimes, and I can't speak specifically because I don't know who you're talking about, because they're running around trying to buy the tickets for you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's why they might not be delivered till the day of the show, and I can't even assure you they'll get delivered day of the show. I highly suggest you go to Ticketmaster, and what I tell my friends is you press the filter button, and you go into standard tickets only. You check standard tickets only, and you'll see our standard ticket prices. Ticketmaster has Platinum, which is ticket prices that are higher than standard. They have VIP tickets. There's all different types of tickets that Ticketmaster legitimately offers. But the normal concert goer that just wants to go see the show and doesn't want to pay excessive prices, press the word filter, check off the standard box,
perfect,
and then go in there. And then you'll see our real ticket price.
See, you're all set.
All right, good.
Awesome.
It took a long time to get the plane off the ground, Jim, but it helped a lot of people, so thank you.
Good. Thank you, guys.
All right,
thank
bro.
You.
Appreciate
Bye.
It.
Right?
I'll take a glazed donut, please.
Me.
Oh, yeah. I like the chocolate glaze.
Yeah, me too. I like chocolate glaze, too.
I like the squishy ones, just stuff in your mouth.
I got a bunch of things to ask Jimmy about, but Rich has been holding. Rich from Bridgeport.
Good morning, everybody. Jimmy, first of all, Rev, producer from CBS says hello by the name of Bobby Kleinagel. My question is there going to be heat in the new Hartford Amphitheater?
Heat?
No.
You're outside.
No heat. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
No heat. That's the venue.
It's called Dress Up.
Outstanding. Have a good day.
Was that it?
Yep.
We have heat.
It's outside.
If anything, I'd put air conditioning in, tell you the truth.
Right.
But
order a cold drink.
Yeah. That's
an
interesting question.
That's what you got
to do. My own heart.
Exactly, yeah. Right.
All right, so the Foo Fighters announced that they will be the band reopening Madison Square Garden this summer. I think this month, right? Like a couple weeks.
20th.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 20th. Indoor shows are happening. Foo Fighters, Springsteen's doing Broadway again starting June 26th. That's indoors.
It seems weird. The Foo Fighters, not Billy Joel, since that's like his place. Any thoughts on that?
I have not spoken to Billy's agent. I did play golf with Billy's agent a couple of Wednesdays ago before this all happened. Billy, I don't believe, is going to start until November.
Oh.
And then he's got to start making up his shows starting in March that were on sale. I think he had three or four shows already on sale. So, am I surprised it's not Billy Joel? Yes, I am a bit surprised. I think Billy represents New York better than anybody, but I don't know how that happened. I really don't know how that happened.
Any chance of you getting the Foo Fighters over here?
The only chance, I don't think in Connecticut. I don't think in Connecticut, no. I think this is sort of like what we call a one-off. They're just doing it, special performances.
Gotcha.
I think you'll see a big Foo Fighters tour in 22.
All right. And then GNR Las Vegas Stadium will be opening, and Guns N' Roses will be the band opening that stadium.
Yes. GNR is doing a stadium tour with a couple of Midwest amphitheaters and arenas thrown in, which is really a postponement from the 2019.
All right.
From the 2020 tour that went on sale in 2019.
There's this customer service window there, Jimmy, that you saw.
Yeah, I saw that yesterday. I didn't know what it was. I said, what's this? A customer? I said, what is this window? And it's got a hole in it, and it's got, you know, you could talk through it. It's right where the concession stands are. And he goes, that's the customer service window. I said, do me a favor. I never want to be in there.
Yeah,
that
really?
Is the, that when you say customer service, you might as well put complaint service.
Complaint department.
Right. Yell
right.
Here.
That's what it is.
You want to make a viral video?
All right.
Put Jimmy Koplik in there.
Right.
And have two camera shots, one going into the window and one coming out from Jimmy's perspective.
Yeah, both sides, yeah.
And you watch the look on people's faces when they're like, yeah, I have a...
It's him.
Jimmy?
It's him. Oh, my God.
Wow, you really do take this seriously.
Right.
By the eighth or ninth complaint, there's this little hole in the window. My fist will be going through it.
Right. Ow, he hit me.
No, you'd be pulling the curtain down.
Right.
Close.
Da-da-da-da.
Yeah, let me go check on that. Close.
Right.
Better make sure that curtain doesn't have my face on it. Just realize that.
Oh, gotcha.
Sam in Milford.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, I was wondering if, Jimmy, are you guys looking into bringing any hip-hop to the amphitheater? And if so, specifically, maybe some 90s hip-hop. It seems like every year another one of these guys are dying. I kind of like to see one of them perform before they're all gone.
Well, we are bringing hip-hop. We have Lil Durk in there right now, and it's selling gigantically. It's amazing. I never heard of the guy or girl. I don't know if Durk's a guy or a girl. See, that's a problem going through with today's music with NF and Lil Durk and Trippie Redd. I don't know what that is. Is that a band? Is that a person? Is that a woman? Is that a man? I have no idea.
Tell the drugs
I
mean,
I
you
do
buy.
Know that Jethro Tull is a band, and I know Marshall Tucker's a band, and Lynyrd Skynyrd's a band. So I do know some stuff.
AJ made a good point, Jimmy. It sounds like something you would go into the bathroom and someone would be selling.
Right. Hey, man.
You want some Trippie Redd?
Trippie Redd?
You want some Lil Durk?
Want some Nas?
Right. Well, listen, we're going to put everything in there that we think will sell tickets. We have a lot of hip-hop coming in that we haven't announced yet. We've only announced one show. This coming week, we'll be announcing two or three more hip-hop shows that are coming in there. And I think it's going to be, we're going from Harry Connick to Lil Durk. So it's. Right. I'm sure we'll have some 90s hip-hop. I don't know who in particular talking about, but I'm sure we'll have some 90s hip-hop.
No opera, we know that.
No opera.
Yeah,
no opera.
I mean... You know, was excited about maybe seeing DMX this summer, but obviously that's not going to happen. So, you know, yeah.
Well,
go from there.
Kind of checked out, so.
All right. Told not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks,
yeah.
Sam.
All right.
Dave in Bridgeport.
Good morning, crew. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning.
Good morning to you.
My question is, will the prospective Lynyrd Skynyrd concert interfere with any other major shows in the state? Like, I have tickets to Kiss. So will that day fall on its own entity? Like, if I think it's the Mohegan Sun or the Xfinity?
No, it won't. I actually am going to tell the governor next time I see him that Skynyrd's going to be there in 2022, not in 2021.
Oops.
They cut back their tour a little.
Oh.
And they
okay,
took our
so they're not
out.
Coming this year.
Not coming this year. So Kiss is all go. And I'll see you there.
I got to tell you, if we get a tribute band. All right. Thank you, Dave. If we get a Skynyrd tribute band.
Right.
Would the governor really know?
Exactly.
Would any of his people really know?
We'll call them Lynyrd Skynyrd. Lynyrd Skynyrd.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you want
many
Lynyrd.
Many people might think it is a cover band already.
Right. Hello, my name is Lynyrd Skynyrd. How are you?
Yeah, you're right.
It's a guy.
I mean, there's one original member, right? Gary Rossington, I think, is the only real original member in the band.
I think you're right.
Yep.
Jimmy Koplik is on, and I saw, Jimmy, that Brad Whitford of Aerosmith said this week that... highly unlikely that Aerosmith will tour now or ever.
Really?
Did you see that one coming?
I didn't see the ever coming, but we are working on a Joe Perry show at Toad's right now.
Oh, wow.
Towards the end of the year, which made me say, okay, they're clearly not going out during the summer, and if they were going out in the fall, Joe Perry wouldn't be looking to play for us at Toad's. So, but I didn't expect it would be ever. It's just way too much money there. I'm very surprised.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you never know, too.
They don't get along. They're not great friends.
Right. Towards the end, we saw some problems on stage.
Yeah.
Who was it? Was it?
Somebody got body checked.
Joe Perry gave Steven Tyler a little flick.
And
while he was on the edge of the stage, and Tyler went off the stage, and there was some comments in the media.
Right.
You could tell there's a little tension there in the band.
A little bit. There's a whole thing with Joey Kramer.
Yeah, Kramer wasn't playing at the awards show or something like that.
Right. Then he tried to get in, and security kept him out.
Exactly,
and
right.
He played. And...
Yeah, some IDs. Yeah.
But you're right, Jimmy. There's a lot of money there, so...
It's got Motley Crue back together.
That's right.
Money talks.
TJ in Rocky Hill is wondering about Wolfgang Van Halen.
Well, he's opening up for the Guns N' Roses tour.
Beautiful.
Right. Any chance of him coming here as a solo act?
We would love it if he decides to do a solo tour, but not right now. He's just going to get the band together, go out with Guns N' Roses this summer and see how it is.
All right. From the text.
Someone's asking if they'll be able to smoke weed in the amphitheater once it's legalized.
Well, the way I will answer that is I don't stop it now.
I was there in 1977 really. In the Coliseum at Jimmy's shows.
Right.
What the hell?
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, look, you're asking the right person that question because I don't drink. But I have never seen why we allow people to drink at shows but not smoke at shows.
Right.
So if you ever go to my show, and I really probably should never publicly say this, but of course, I always make these mistakes.
Of course.
I tell my ushers, if somebody's, only if it's bothering somebody next to them, don't stop them. I mean, if it's illegal, listen, once, you're not supposed to smoke inside at all, any product.
Right.
But you know, I think part of going to the concert is getting a buzz, if you want. And whether the buzz is alcohol or pot, it's a buzz.
Boy, they better put a little, like, a smoke, like, stack
right
on top of that tent.
Right. All the birds are falling.
I didn't even think of that. You know what? That is a great question.
It's going to look like a big teepee.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right, Jimmy. Thank you, brother. We'll talk to you next Thursday. So they're going to go into a special session. We were hoping to talk to someone that is in the conversation about all this.
Right.
And, I think they're... let's turn on the mic at their house right now.
I always ends in a fart.
Come on, you fart when you sleep, don't you?
I don't know, I'm sleeping.
Ask Eric. When the dog suddenly leaves, you know what happened.
When he wakes up on the couch.
Right.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah, they've been, you know, a lot of debate and a lot of late night stuff. And don't, you know, it's one of those, just keep moving. Don't even look up there.
Right.
There's stuff happening up there. You're just going to, I can't even look up there.
Exactly. Right. Can't look anymore.
I scroll through these headlines. I'm like, yeah, Jesus.
How's the weather? Goodbye, goodbye.
How's the weather?
Yeah, right.
Oh, look, a car show next weekend.
Yeah. Yep. If you're thinking about putting your house on the market, put it on now because it's
red hot.
It's a red hot market. And
grab it.
You know that, you know what they do up there.
Yep.
Hey, find a way to take that somehow.
How can we screw it up?
Exactly.
Oh, hey, I think we just woke her up.
Oh.
Hey, Nicole, how are you?
Good morning.
Good morning.
You sound wide awake, actually.
It's Nicole Claritas Dietra.
Wow, how many names you got?
Dietria.
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 Look,
Dietria.
Like, look at Dietria. It's nicer.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And by the way, I love your husband. Good man.
Oh, thank you. Me
police
too.
Police officer. Good guy.
Mr. Dietria?
All right. So, what's the deal with weed?
Yeah, what's up with that?
Well, the deal is we didn't take it up in regular session, and they plan on bringing us in tentatively sometime next week to vote on it. We wanted to vote on it during session, but we can't figure out why they didn't want to.
Interesting.
Huh.
I thought that was Caldelora didn't want it, wanted to have a conversation because someone slipped something in at the last minute in the Senate version. Was some little thing that would give a company in Watertown a tremendous amount of money.
Yes.
And
yes,
it was like, hold on, let's put the brakes on. Let's have a conversation yes. about this.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes, that was in there. But also, we didn't get the language, which is a 300-page document, until today's Thursday, this past Sunday. And then the Senate took it up the next day. I mean, they should have waited. So yeah. People could have had time to really look at the document.
They don't care, right? I mean, they're just kind of running it like, let's face it. You know, the Republicans are in the minority and they can run this stuff right through.
Uh-huh.
So it's almost exactly. like they give you a copy of it as a part of procedure.
Like a courtesy, right? Yes. Here
mm-hmm.
it is. Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And if they wanted it, you know, if they had the votes, I don't know why we just didn't vote on it and state your piece and vote. That's what we always say. If you want something, state your piece and let's go.
Yeah. So how do you think this will play out? Do you think we'll have legalized recreational marijuana in Connecticut as a law this year?
I think so. I think they have the votes. They don't call anything that they don't have the votes for.
Wow.
It may be close. It won't. I don't think it'll be unanimous, but I my personal opinion, I think so.
She has a hunch.
My hunch.
Yeah, her gut tells her this.
All right. And you were around that person who was drunk, right? What's her name?
Loopy.
Robin Comey?
I was.
Yeah.
When she was having her.
Allegedly
her
drunk.
Issues,
yeah. She was having
I
a.
Went
moment.
Up.
But did you call it health fever. Issues?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
That's good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Health
I have a lot of health issues on the weekend.
Yeah, really. I had one last weekend, boy. Woo!
Yes, I did. I heard her and I thought something was wrong. And honestly, I thought she was having a stroke. And with my training as an athletic trainer, that's why I ran over to see how she was doing. So as long as she was okay, that's what we all care about.
Right. Just give her some gum and send her home. Yes.
Right.
Right.
That's that was tough to listen to.
It was.
It went on for about a minute 40. How much? How long do you have for floor time?
You have as much floor time as you want.
Oh,
and she took it.
Well, it took that guy a minute 40 to say, we got to pull a plug on her.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, stopwatch going.
Yeah, that was tough. That was tough. Yeah. Yep. So there's been a lot of drinking up there this time around, right?
It would be.
Just COVID?
Yep.
Honestly, not. I mean, on the Republican side, we don't typically do that. I mean, sometimes you may have. Listen, me personally, the entire session, if at the end of a session someone may have a drink, that's about it. I don't see it a lot up there. And obviously this session, we've seen it a lot on the other side, which we don't condone. It's your work job. You guys don't sit there, at least as far as I know, and drink when you're working.
Not anymore. The boss's office, that was embarrassing.
It's not something you do when you're at work. We don't drink.
Not wearing pants, apparently.
Well, this year, because you could vote from your office in the Capitol building, right? You don't have to be on the floor. So you could be sitting at your desk having a glass of wine.
Right, just keep it low.
And just voting from your office because of COVID.
It's a big gulp cup.
But as you know, that provision was put in there for COVID and not for any other reason. Didn't have to be in front of everybody else in the chamber. So it's nice to be able to have your laptop. And if we're having dinner in our caucus room, you could be having dinner with your laptop there and vote and then be able to go back and forth back and forth from the chamber to your caucus room having dinner or your office. But not so one can be drinking whenever they want.
Sure, a beer helmet. That'd be really funny.
A beer helmet.
Right. If you're going to do it, just go all the way.
A straw in your mouth. Yeah, so I'm voting so-and-so.
Yeah, or no, just smash the can on your head.
Even better, right. Belching.
Shotgun it.
Right.
Yeah, at the end of your little speech.
Are you doing a funnel?
There are so many stories, like old school stories. We've had a couple from D.C.
Uh-huh.
There's some heavy, heavy partying going on.
Big time.
You must have, because your sister's been kicking around up there for a while, you must have heard some stories, like, even before her time, right?
Well, many, many years ago, like 20, 30 years ago, you heard stories before they changed even the lobbying laws. You'd hear stories of, they'd break, like, they would literally break for dinner for 3 hours. Say, okay, we're going to have dinner, come back in 3 hours, and that's what they would do.
And no one understood one another.
Exactly. Right. Right.
What's this language in this bill? I don't know.
It looks like it says mushy mushy. Yeah.
So your sister's going to run for governor?
I don't know, but I surely hope so.
Yeah. She's doing the exploratory thing now?
It's not the exploratory yet. It's the step before because she's still figuring out if she wants to do it and she wants to be able to pay out of her own money the people that are helping her.
In college.
It's funny, right? Because it's all about timing and this machine to activate a gubernatorial run has to be built and running. And right now, if you had to make a decision now, you look at Lamont, you're like, things aren't that bad. Economy's coming back. People are feeling good.
Right.
I don't know. Maybe I'll kind of hang back and sit this one out. But by the time you get there, like, what is it, a year and, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, hell can break loose.
A year and months. The bill's going to come in for COVID and all these other things. And then it's hard to judge whether or not you want to get in, right?
I say go for it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Trust your gut.
I say go for it, too.
Trust your gut.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's not my decision.
Have a couple of cocktails first. Right. Go for it.
It just seems like if you couldn't beat the guy coming off of Malloy,
right?
And he was an unknown. It's harder to beat him now. No.
I mean that goes two ways. If someone's established, maybe, but you have to see what they've done in that time frame, and you understand that most of his time frame being governor was under COVID, and he didn't have great ratings before COVID.
No,
we're through COVID, and his ratings definitely increased, but now we're getting back to normal again. And my feeling is his numbers will go back down because he wasn't doing a good job before COVID. He did an okay job during COVID, but I think we're going to end up seeing his true colors coming back once we, get fully back to normal.
Yeah. He seems like a nice enough guy, right?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
He like, is.
Like
He's
Malloy
a
was. Like, Malloy, you know, whatever you're. Like, I talked to Democrats who wanted to push him in front of a car.
Exactly.
Like,
right.
They just didn't like. He was unlikable.
Very unlikable.
Definitely. Yeah. Yes, he is. Ugh. He's a nice guy.
And that's the loving way of saying it.
I mean, when I was with Governor Malloy, it was nice conversation.
Yeah.
But then I would hear tactics about, like, how, you know, I'm like, oh, Jesus.
Oh. Evil!
More difficult.
Yes.
So, all right, well, thank you for getting up, and...
You're welcome.
I'm trying not to look at what you guys are doing up there. It was so nice last year, you know, even though we were in a 100-year pandemic, but to not hear these stories every day, like, hey, what about this fee and that tax?
Yeah, right. Those are coming. Yeah.
It's nice not to have that last year.
Right, but all this is just a dream, by the way.
Yeah.
Right. You're really asleep.
It was just a dream. It's coming back again.
You're asleep right now, yes.
All right, Nicole, thank you.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.